for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
If gods won't do the right thing, then why do they exist?
Look around you. Who brings to life monsters?
I see them as a way of continuing on.
Scene shifts to the center of town where, Varnox, you see yourself holding Malice and Acer, crying to the heavens.
I know what I must do then. I grab the Wand of Orcus and I try to use it on Lipsinky.
Looks like we're doing pretty good here. Varnox, take a look.
I step over to the edge and take a look.
We're just gonna give this all up?
What are we giving up? I've already lost everything I held dear. And if I have the chance to ride it, it's what I must do.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
Yeah, she, her. And today, I will be playing all the people. All of them. Guile, Nyhunter, Oglekanu. She, they. Thea, Anastasia, she, her. And Sullivan Slight, he, him.
And Tom Laird.
Yeah, that's me, he, him. I am playing Moot, who goes by he. Okay, they're all he, him. So I'm playing Moot, Tullgear, and Flint.
And Carla Maxted.
She, her, and thank goodness, Glim, Ilya, Lipsinky, Yenbol. All she, her also, which was just good foresight.
Just such
I guess,
a good time saver.
This very moment.
And joining us again, we call them guests, but they're just like family. It's Kristen Flemons.
Again? Hello, I'm Kristen, she, her, and I will playing once again, Agath Godlust, Catho Olavi, she, her. And you know what? Just so I can have another character, her horse, yeah. Trezraxis, he, him.
Dang.
And Kyle Classett.
Hey, everyone. He, him. I'm going to be reprising my role as Varanox, as a true chief.
No,
he's a good guy now. He might not.
No, we got him. We got him on our side.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to make me upset, and then I can just flip that switch. It's easy.
No. Player knowledge, character knowledge. Varanox has no idea about him.
No, I'm happy to be back at the table. Thank you for allowing me to return time after time. I hope I don't wear out my welcome ever. Y'all are great.
Never.
As we've tricked you into coming back over and over again.
And the fact that you think it's your idea.
I know. Like, no, we just keep making you. We just leave it on a cliffhanger every time.
That's the Stockholm Syndrome.
What other show do you need a 20-minute synopsis before we start playing and recording? Oof. Like, Exactly.
More relaxing podcasts.
You know, if I could get that every day of my life, right? Just for my life, yes. I would really...
Just a daily recap of what I did the day before.
Yeah. So this is who you are, and this is where you were last time you were conscious, and this is what you should be doing. I love that.
As long as it's recorded so comforting. By Russ, that's the, the caveat to that.
Of course.
Oh, hold on, TM, because I mean, that could be just a way to wake up a new alarm clock.
I think it's called 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Sweet.
But also a great idea. And where we have tons of great ideas, like 50 First Dates, is over on patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where clearly we invented 50 First Dates.
Yep, you heard it here first.
We do a lot of time travel. So obviously one of the things we time traveled back to do was create 50 First Dates.
We just whispered it in Adam Sandler's ear.
A completely non-problematic movie.
No, oh no, totally. No. Yeah.
Look, don't think it's romantic if you don't think about it, okay? We're also, when you're a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Cody Goyette.
Hey, Cody.
Thank you so much.
You're amazing.
When you join us over there to reinvent another 70 First Dates, that was terrible. Wow. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Fuck it, let's play. Flint, the sound of birds chirping and quick movements through a thick, dense jungle can be heard beneath the heavy panting of Flint Firebeard, who's carrying an axe covered in cuts and scrapes and blood coming down, and he's looking around nervously at the trees when an arrow zips by your head from high up in the canopy. You turn and you look and you see movement high up as Bort is nimbly jumping from tree to tree.
Flint mutters, "I can't believe a dragonborn can move that fast." And
you're going to be like, "This fucking guy."
This fucking guy again. I'll try and lose him as he's in the treetops and I'm down below. I'll try and some fancy maneuvers.
Okay, make a stealth check.
Okay. Please. That is a 17.
You quickly move out of the way after you see him hopping from tree to tree and duck behind a carved out trunk where you have space to rest and try and get your bearings. You hear footsteps moving past the position where you are.
I'm gonna peek my head out and see if I can see this asshole. Track him down.
What's your passive investigation?
D&D Beyond tells me it's 14.
He's about 30 feet over, so probably two or three solid big trees away from you.
I'm gonna creep around and try to get like directly underneath him.
Yeah, with your stealth roll, you can get to the tree right beneath him. And you see him, he's knocked an arrow and looking around. You've managed to conceal your position with just the ambient sound around you.
What's my weapon situation here? Do I just have the one axe?
You have an axe and a dagger. Two of them were previously seen in the middle of this stark white room.
Okay.
Those are the only two.
Okay. Yeah, I guess if I have a clear shot at him, I'll try to throw my dagger at him.
Okay, you're going to try and hit him?
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, make a ranged attack, please.
At him? Are you trying to get him in the butthole like pulling a Carla?
I mean, taint,
so that's
butthole,
Carla's thing.
Whatever works, it's fine. Okay, that is... Oh, it's a dirty 20.
Yeah, just describe to me... Well, you can hit him. I mean, you can hit him in the butthole if you want to, but describe to me what happens.
Yeah, like upper thigh, wind up, throw this dagger. I know it makes contact because of the sound and the cry that follows out after that.
He loses his footing and begins to fall to the ground as this dagger sticks into his thigh. And as he hits the ground before you, it's like reality bends beneath him. And everything begins to get sucked down on top of him, yourself included, until you are in this churning and roiling
mass. You're going to take... you want to roll a d12 for me?
Oh, I'll definitely roll it. I like Tom.
Never get to roll d12.
Oh, shit.
Exciting.
Sorry, Tom. It's 11.
I love it.
I rolled a good one.
You're going to take 11 bludgeoning damage as you're being churned up in what is this basically laundromat... washing machine of trees and rock and dirt, and you're spit out into another location. Kristen, where do they come up?
Can it be on a tree branch?
Yeah.
Perilously perched.
I love it.
You're 150 feet up as the two of you land on this narrow tree branch that's coming out from the single tree in the middle of what is this vast jungle. The sun is beating down on you, and you move to catch your step. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Is a 22.
Your first step slips, but you manage to catch yourself. And you're staring down Vort at the other end of this, and he's got his bow and arrow loosely held. They're not knocked. And he looks at you and says, well... you're not looking too good.
I mean, you're not really one to talk here, bud.
Yeah. I've got a little bit more of a chance at making it back down than you do.
Well, how do you figure that?
He quickly moves and rushes you, knocking his arrow at the same time, loosing it. It's going to be a 16 to hit your AC.
No, that is not enough. My AC is 18.
Glints off of your armor, but he continues forward and bashes into you. The two of you begin to fall. The wind is whipping by your ears as you crash down into another branch lower down. And we see the two of you tumbling down to the ground. And we snap back to the beach, where the undead horde is standing motionless. Little click noises and groans slowly coming from them. As we see everyone gathered outside a tent, looking out at the massacre that is, and all of the undead stopped and waiting. The dragons in the sky seem to be in this just gliding, like free fall, like how albatross fly. Like they dip down and then come back up, gliding on the air.
Like Falcor.
Like Falcor. Exactly like Falcor. An airship has landed down on the beach side with Thea and Varnox, Lipsinki, and Tulgir having come down off. Everybody is collected, and Varnox is explaining how he has the undead horde in the position that he has them.
See, I'm able to control their motions. They are placed under my whim thanks to, well, Orcus. The problem that we are facing, though, is how long I actually have control of them. Because at a certain point, Daddy's gonna know.
Yeah, the big guy's gonna realize, and then we can't, you know, he's gonna...
About how long do you think we have?
That's a hard guess, but I do have an idea that could give us an advantage. I'd turn and gesture my hand to have them all walk back into the ocean.
With this groaning, grinding, like bone-on-bone grinding, they all slowly turn as if they're fighting against something else, but then begin to move slowly back under the water.
Perhaps if they get far enough before Orcus notices, then that will buy the people here some time while we manage to do, well, at this point, whatever it is you all say we need to do to fix this. So what are we doing?
Is Bahamut also standing around with us, just like...
No, Bahamut's not in this immediate group right now. You see Bahamut high in the sky, and he moves back down to the ground. There's It's this silver blood dripping from where his wounds were opened by these dragons, and transforms back into his human form as he reaches the beach. Kind of just brushes himself off a little bit. He's beaten up, he's got torn robes, and begins to walk over to you.
My god, he's so cool.
Glim obviously runs up to him. Are you... You're fine, right? Like, we don't have to worry that you're gonna, like, go back into the coma or anything. You look a little... You're okay?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. It's eaten by...
Do you need me to do, like, a quick little... Just a real little focus on my... Would that help at all? If I just really concentrated on my love for you?
Yes. Do that.
Okay.
Just concentrate on your love.
All right, will do.
That'll just fuel me back up. Just fills my heart with joy.
Perfect.
Thea leans over to Telgir and goes, imagine thinking so much of yourself that you think that you could heal a god. Not saying, just saying.
You know, it sounds like she's waited a long time for this, so maybe we'll just let her have this one.
I'm saying it to you, and I'm not saying it to
her.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I know, but like, you know, we'll just give it to her. Just let her have it.
I forgot we were enemies.
I think frenemies is the better term. Yeah, it's real awkward.
Uneasy
for me.
Allies. Yeah. I forgot.
Down the beach, we see a goth coaxing the tabaxi out of the forest back towards the village.
Are you sure it's safe?
No. What? But you should come anyway.
Oh.
You are required. This is your job as forces to defend.
I'm 16.
Everybody dies sometime.
Mom!
I think she's trying to use Traz, like, to literally herd cats.
Sure. To herd them.
Which is obviously not his favorite activity either. So there's just this, like, extremely aggravated, translucent, creepy warhorse, like, scattering tabaxi left, right, and center as she's like, this is a waste of my time and my skills.
No, it's okay. Just let me go talk to them. You didn't take any of the juice boxes or snacks, did you? No, let me, I can reason with them. You go join all the important people. And,
she'll just spin on her heel.
Okay. Everybody, follow me!
Okay.
And Sir Juice? Step one. And two, I think, complete. Keep the city safe.
Yeah.
And have help from Varnox and Lipsinky.
Yo.
So, are you saying we were step two? I'd really feel more comfortable if we were step one.
You were absolutely step one.
Oh, okay. All right.
100% step one. 110%
step one.
Okay, because, like, you know, we're going from a pretty high-level position, so I don't want to...
Oh, my God. You guys, ruler of my entire universe right now.
Oh.
Oh, well. That might be too much. Oh, I thought that was too much responsibility.
Well, we'll figure it out.
In between. Oh, we'll figure it out.
But two steps done. One way more important than the other. Now I think it's time to do the, you know, the time
travel.
Yeah.
Oh.
That. Yeah, I mean, we should probably, like, the zombies are going back into the sea. Love to see it. Love to see them walk away. So probably now is a good time to, like, do what we need to do.
Leosin runs out from one of the tents, says, the ritual is ready to try and bring Flint or Flint back.
Yeah, Flint back.
That's the goal. We talked about it.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Why did you say Bort and then say Flint?
Well, there are two of them in there.
Okay, yes, I know that.
And
he's not really sure, like, which one is gonna come
souls
back.
Okay. No, this just sounds non-committal. Flint is coming back. Flint. It's called the power of positive thinking. Mm. Let's go do this thing.
Why are you having an issue being able to pin down a soul?
Is this something that is in your wheelhouse?
Like, are you real good at, like, those claw grabber machines?
Is that what it's like?
Arklana? Yeah.
I mean, I would have to assume.
Okay, would you come with us?
I can give my aid however you think I can give it. And, if giving some guidance here is what needs to be done, then let's go.
Flint is an extremely strong fighter. He will be...
Yeah, I remember.
Sorry, I'm a little emotional. This is a big day. It's been a while since I've, you know, seen him.
That being said, once we successfully bring him back, I'll probably just need to be out of the room for a moment. I know Flint doesn't know about
would be quite the...
Yeah, he won't be up to date on the new comings and goings of things.
Yeah, that'll be quite the meeting.
Although it could be really funny to be like, ha-ha, I've brought you back, ha. Trick him for a moment and...
Sure, we can
have
play
a
with,
fun
it.
With it.
Yeah, we can play with it however you want.
It's your friend, Thea, so I don't want to interrupt, but I feel like maybe too soon. Like if he just came back, maybe like a little too soon for what would otherwise be a very funny joke.
Of course, we're not going to actually do it. I'm just going to hug him real tight.
Inconsequential evil. We can do inconsequential evil, right?
If you got that evil built up inside you and you just got to let it out and like little, you know, just.
I just know I
can't. Release the valve a little bit.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do it cold turkey.
No,
yeah.
I couldn't
expect you to. You too.
Orcus, I thought we were going to have to just know evil at all from now on, and I just couldn't.
Hey,
oh, that slipped. I didn't mean thank Orcus. I'm sorry. It's just.
Hey, we're not looking for you to be perfect.
It's habit.
Just looking for you to be your badass selves and not be controlled by, you know, a dick.
Can do.
Okay. Let's go, like, pull Flint back into his own body.
Okay. Thea, Varanox, Glim, Bahamut, is probably best to bring you being the god and the one closest to the god, to assist in the ritual.
Glim's face, like, him saying closest to the god is like, oh,
dear diary.
So Glim basically, like, skips to where they need to go.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
The five of you skip off to the med tent.
Are we holding hands? Or
Voronox and Lipsinky are probably holding hands.
Maybe.
Lipsinky's going with Voronox? Probably.
Why is that important?
Well, I don't imagine we'd be separated at any point.
Okay. As the six of you skip off... holding hands, some people holding hands, others not holding hands. Agoth, Sully, and Moot, and Flamikins are...
And Grancis?
Grancis was weakened at Bernie's in the last one, so he's probably going to get woken up next, I think.
I don't fucking remember where Grancis was. Sometimes he's awake and sometimes he's sleeping. So
I thought he was on the airship.
I think he's narcoleptic. And sometimes he just
maybe side effect of coming back from the abyss. It's
that's
just,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just gets sleepy.
Sully and Moot, you're specifically talking about the next thing to come, where you're going.
So yeah, I was told that I would perhaps be too powerful.
Right. I believe that was what was mentioned. Yes.
And that the balance wouldn't, you know, when it's got to be like a really kind of epic, where it's, you know, it's toe to toe. And just if I was down there, it'd just be all like really heavy handed on our side. And it just wouldn't really seem like the victory.
Well, and like we want everyone to feel like they contributed equally. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not fair to everyone else if you just go and do all the heavy lifting.
That'd be a girl would just be sitting down, just like eating a banana or something like that. Just like watching me do my stuff. So it would have been real. Would have been real awkward for her. So,
Yeah, and I'm going to fuck Bahama in the past.
Excuse me?
Yeah. That's pretty much what's going to happen. What about you?
Do you have like a prearranged situation?
Yeah, we talked about it in the last episode. We talked about it. We discussed it. Yeah.
I do not recollect that conversation
at all.
Remember,
because he was all like, bringing the sexy back, and we were like, yeah, he was, and then it's like, yeah, probably get down with him in the past. This is things that happen. Don't worry about it. I was talking to you. I was talking to you, Big Goliath. There's two of you, Big Goliaths, floating around. Where
you do not have
go?
To say big. You can just say Goliath. We are almost always big anyway. It is redundant.
I know you don't like me very much. Other Goliath. The one who's real quiet.
I would say that it would be hard to forget hearing about those romantic plans with Bahamut.
There's probably room.
Stay as far away from that as possible.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fair.
Sully, did she mean in human form or dragon form?
Oh my god, I got a visual. I just can't even right now. The mechanics of that just wouldn't... What? No. What?
No, right? No.
We cut to a scene that we don't want to explain, so we cut back to the other scene.
Poor goth. Right? Like,
well, probably her and Night Hunter just watching each other like,
totally.
What?
Exchanging.
Yeah, this is where like the podcasting medium, you really wish you could just have the silent visuals of like the what the fuck look to the left and the what the fuck look to the right.
100%.
Gals, would you want to walk over here with me? Just like
please.
Far away from these guys over here?
As far as possible, yes.
So how long have you had wonderful horse?
You can just sort of see her beam a little bit, and she proudly, like, slaps Traz on the shoulder. Since the early stages of the war, we have been together. He is a marvel, is he not? And he, like, tosses his mane proudly as well.
Oh,
he's kind of vain.
Beautiful beast. My God. I do not think my wife would like me to have a horse like this, but I mean, like, impressive. I'm jealous.
Agath will look at Trez briefly, sort of exchange a look, look at Night Hunter. Would you like to ride him?
No, I couldn't. There is so much going on. Perhaps for 5 minutes, just around.
It is healthy to blow off steam after battles.
I will be right back. I have oats in my pocket. How did those get here? Here you go.
Yeah, his nose is already in your pocket.
And Night Hunter vaults onto this beautiful. Like
demon horse.
Yes. And beautiful, like, translucent, gross, just majestic.
Giant smile on their face. And definitely rides it in front of Ilya to be like, look how happy this thing makes me.
I was just going to say, for sure, this is noticed by Ilya. It's like just
galloping,
watching.
Big wave.
Just two eyes.
Big wave.
And just Ilya waves.
I'm on a pony.
And smiles. I mean, she's her love is happy, and that's great. She probably doesn't really want to introduce a demon warhorse into the home, but...
Ilya, you said we couldn't have pets.
Well, you're right. But she's just riding. That's not...
You look at her eyes, though. That says that she's going to find a classified ad on the board, and then 2 days later, you're going to have a horse.
I think Trez is a bit of a show-off as well. So at any moment when, you know, he knows you're being watched, it's like, you know, dramatic rearing, blowing like the acid attack everywhere, like leaping
tabaxi
over obstacles. Yes, charging groups of tabaxi, getting revenge. Scattering them everywhere.
I think this changes Ilya's mind a little bit because this is an impressive display and Night Hunter is so happy.
I trot back over to a goth and I leap off and I go, what's she watching?
Oh yes.
I think maybe that could be a thing. So seems like here is fairly safe since Varanox and Lipitsinki has stopped all the undead. Perhaps I will go to Celestia. What will you do?
It was a rather anticlimactic way for a battle to end.
It was. I only killed 19.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Since my god disappeared, I have been hunting for a way to confront Orcus and undo this. I think... now that a direct path seems to have been opened, I cannot turn away from that opportunity. I have always wanted to punch Orcus in the face.
Well, that would be very satisfying. So you will go to the Abyss, then, with Thea and those others?
I believe that is my path, yes.
Night Hunter grasps Agoth on the shoulder and says, I hope you do get to punch Orcus in the face.
Agath will do the, like, you know, the forehand clasp. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I would welcome the chance to fight alongside you again. However, I do hope it is a satisfying crunch.
If you die in battle, I will get Song Kitty to write anthems about you and your horse.
Are there any other options?
Oh yes, not dying in battle, and also have anthems sung about your victory and your horse.
By someone other than Song Kitty?
Oh, absolutely. There are many better parts. I'm going to be very honest. Yes.
I appreciate that.
It's a non-audio play, but Opal jumps out when he hears anthems from behind a tree, and then as it's described that there are better bards, slowly, kind of sadly, sinks back behind the tree.
Well, he should mind his damn business.
We cut back to the med tent, where Thea, Leosin, Varanox, Lipsinki, Glim, and Bahamut step back through and in, and inside you see... that Flint is in the middle of what is an altar, and runes written into the sand all around him and candles lit. You hear what is surprising to all of you, like the low rumbling growl of this large cat off in the back corner. It's this large black panther.
What the hell is that?
Oh, that's the, that's the cat lord that's been protecting the island.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought it was...
They brought them down from the mountain where they were hiding as all of the undead were dropped from the airship.
Yeah, no, that's
sorry.
Sorry, it was that. It was kind of funny, wasn't it?
Yeah,
no,
funny.
It's too soon.
Falling down on top of you.
It's okay though, but Lipsinki's trying to.
No. Yeah. Yes, of course, yeah. Trying to
can
relate
I,
to the people.
Can I pet that giant kitty?
Can you pet a god as if it were a cat? Please try.
I believe in you, Lipsinky.
I'll start the paperwork. Psst, psst, psst.
Hello, Mr. Furry. Psst, 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 psst. Come over here. I'm going to scratch your ears.
Make a persuasion roll. That's not an animal handling because this is definitely a god. Make a persuasion roll.
Okay, sure.
Oh. Come on, Nat 20.
I have a good 20. Persuasion. Oh my god, I really did roll a Nat 20.
Yes!
Yes!
Also, I have a plus 9. I am the cat whisperer.
Oh, she's I'm petting that crazy that god. Guy.
Yeah, you approach the cat cautiously at first, and then as you do, it doesn't seem to make any advancements or pull back from your scritches behind the ears.
Oh, you're such a good kitty, aren't you? You're so big and strong. Your fur's so soft.
She's fucking magic.
You see the potential. That's why I had to do what I did earlier. A while ago. Time. Time's weird.
Leosin leans in and says, yeah, it's the cat lord turns back into a human and he's kind of a creeper. So
maybe that's enough. Maybe, you know, did he turn back with clothes on?
I don't
Lipsinky?
Know.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be rude.
No,
he's
no,
real
no, no,
soft.
No, no, no. This is a safety thing for you.
Okay. Thank you. I'll step away from the giant panther.
Okay. Well, the panther's here for extra strength and power and you know, to siphon into the ritual Bahamut here equally. I'd like you all to position yourself around Flint and Bort and take a position and you can take your position, but then I want you to, be it a spell or a thought or a motion or some sort of thing that you can bring to this ritual. Being Thea, Varnox, Lipsinky, and Glim, Leosin kind of running, you know, quarterback on the chanting that's happening from the book that he's reading from.
Thea knows runes.
Okay.
Some runes put some good feels out there.
So as you all take your position, Thea, you step up closest to Flint. I would say the head of where he's lain in this tent. What do you do?
Yeah, I will step up and I will position myself like not at like the top of his head, but just like the side of his head. Well, I'll go to rest a hand on his shoulder, and then I'll pull it back and go, can I touch him?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I lay my hand on his shoulder, and I start to mutter, Raitho, Gebo, Wunjo, Nadis. Raitho, Gebo, Wunjo, Nadis.
I have the spell command, and I can pull out, I guess the not a book of Orcus or anything, but just like the next book that I have, which is probably my personal journal.
Just like Archie Comics?
Yeah. I'll be like, Flint, I command you, return to your body, waken and be back to us. And I'm kind of just like hitting his body with the book as I do so, almost like evangelically.
Glim approves.
Leosin's reading through the ritual, kind of looking on as to like, who invited this guy?
It's worked before.
So Lipsinky is going to sort of channel her primal savagery, because that's kind of like the source of her power. I mean, Orcus is kind of the source of her power, but so she gets her like long, gross saber tooth, like claws come out and eyes closed, very focused and almost like vibrating and kind of growling a bit because she's trying to channel all of that sort of savage primal energy.
Whoa, big old Middleine here. It's just Russ chatting at you. Oh!
I miss the song when nobody's here, because I just jump in and it's all like, ooh, it's just me. But no, it's just me, and I'm still singing to you. And I can sing whatever I want with no judgment from anybody else. So obviously it was Big Old Jet Airliner. That's the best I could come up with. Fair enough? Okay. Episode's a little late this week. Twofold. Wanted to make sure we did this one right because there's a lot of things happening. A lot of things happening, especially in this last little bit here. You're going to want to keep listening. If you're a person who usually tunes out when we start doing the middle because you think that's the end, come on. Listen to the rest. Please? So yeah, lots of things happening in the last little bit of this episode. Everybody's doing amazing. Love all of the people we're playing with. Some things that are coming up. The next couple weeks, there won't be regular episodes. Next week is going to be the live-streamed improv one-shot that we did for patrons. The second one, we're going to be releasing that. So Mooklim and Sully back, having fun. I can't even remember what happened in it. It's been so long since we played it. And clearly, I'm behind on editing, so I haven't re-edited it. But that's going to be coming out next week. And then we've got a special behind-the-screen, at-the-table one-shot with a little catch-up of what's going on in our lives and answering a whole bunch of questions from our listeners, from you, primarily people from Discord. So if you haven't joined us in Discord, link is down in the description. We'd love to have you over there. And that's usually the first place we go when we're needing questions for things like that. So again, next week, special bonus one shot with Mooklim and Sully, the young baby Mooklim and Sully, who are so young and naive and having fun. Everybody's having fun, but especially young Mooklim and Sully. And then following that, a special behind the screen at the table Q&A and just catch up on what's going on in our town, because there's a lot of life changes that have been happening collectively, which has kind of slowed down the expediency of production. And we just want to catch everybody up to date and talk with each other about things that are going on in our life. Hope you love those two episodes. We'll be back with new episodes immediately following the events that happen here back in March. That's how calendars work. So until then, we will be having great weeks, getting ready for that, hopefully get back on track with all the things. Please forgive us if we don't, and we'll talk to you soon. Real soon. Okay, bye now. We transition to a marketplace, and it's not Mithril Hall, but it looks very dwarven-esque. And Flint, you're chasing down Bort at this point. You see, you're tracking this trail of blood through these people. One of them jumps out in front of you and tries to stop you, holding oranges, watermelons. Just gets right in your way.
Orange watermelons.
It's a very dwarven delicacy.
Would you like to buy?
No, sorry, can you just get out of the way? I'm in the middle of something here.
Face goes from a smile and begins to like morph into this smooth, featureless facade, really. And you look down and the orange watermelons are no longer there, and a giant scimitar is cutting through the air towards you. Make a dexterity saving throw.
It's a 14, Russ.
You take a huge chop into your shoulder. It takes 6 slashing damage from this being that's in front of you.
I'm gonna like try and like shove it away from me as hard as I can.
Make a strength check.
That's a 24.
Dang.
It's watermelons. They go flying.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The watermelons go flying. The person goes flying, like crashing through the crowd behind them. Everybody begins following like domino style. And they get absorbed into the ground as they're rolling. And like this wave begins to roll and hits down this wall at the end and begins to rush back towards you.
I'm going to try and like stand my ground against this wave. Gonna put my axe out in front of me and try and like part it around me.
You gotta dive under a wave.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta grab your surfboard and get fucking gnarly.
I mean, those are all good options as well.
Okay, you're standing, you're gonna take the brunt of this wave. All right, roll a strength check, strength or athletics.
That's a 27.
This wave crashes into you and everything goes silent until like this rushing sound begins churning around your ears. You get bumped into as you open your eyes and you find that you're at the bottom of this ocean and these undead are moving around you. And then you're sucked up through this whirlpool and shot up into the air and you crash down in a new location. Kristen, where's the new location?
Desert plain.
And the wind begins to rush past you and sand begins to cut into your skin, leaving tiny little pinpricks and small drips of blood coming down from all over your exposed arms and legs and face. And you see up ahead of you an arrow loosed, rushing towards you as Bort fires another one. Roll a d20, please.
Here I go.
Roll high.
It's a 2.
And lands at your feet. And as you look up and give a smirk as you're about to walk towards him, this arrow explodes and blows you back. You're going to take 30 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Bort rushes towards you and leaps up into the air with a scimitar in hand and moves to try and attack you. Make a dexterity saving throw.
A 16.
He crashes down on top of you, and although you miss, the blade misses you, he's got both knees pinned on top of your chest as you feel yourself sinking into this sand with him on top of you.
I'm gonna grab onto him and bring him with me.
The two of you were fighting in this quicksand as the hot wind is blowing over top of you. We see him trying to pull back, and you disappear below the surface, and he disappears behind him as we are thrown back into the med tent. And Glim, you are standing in front of Bahamut, who has been glowing in this iridescent, like, rainbow aura that is illuminating this tent. This black purple is coming from the Cat Lord over in the corner, and the ground, as Lipsinki is channeling whatever primal energy she is channeling, is beginning to vibrate beneath you.
And Glim has her image of Bahamut, and she is staring at him, but holding that very tightly and sort of quietly communing with him as she has since she was a child, very quietly under her breath. Bahamut loves me, this I know, for my magic book tells me so.
Did you go to Christian Bible school too?
I swear I know so many churchy kid songs, this is the only one I could think of.
That was good. That was great. This tent is vibrating with the chanting of runes and this ritual being spoken out by Leosin and this Bahamut Bible camp children's song kind of piercing through all of the cacophony. And the rumble in this ground is getting more and more intense. Back out at the tent, the ground begins to shake and rumble out, and a goth and Night Hunter and Sully and Moot and Flamikins and Opal and Elia and everybody are all... Your attention is drawn, and it feels like it's coming from the tent. What do you do in that moment?
Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Because I'm... It feels kind of bad, but it could be good. I don't know. I don't do the magics.
I mean, I do the magics, and I don't have any... I just know that it's a lot. There's a lot going on here.
You said do-do. I'm sorry. I didn't hear a single word you said after that.
No, that's right. I did. Fair game.
I think, Night Hunter, we should go even... Let's just go see. In case it is something bad and it comes out of the tent, we should be there and be ready.
Perhaps we should stand guard at tent, just in case.
Yes.
Something horrible comes out, we have to kill it.
Exactly.
A goth, you want to kill something?
If necessary. Yeah. It sounds like it could be necessary.
Everyone begins to move towards the med tent. Alien Night Hunter, you're the first to approach, and you begin to part the tent flaps.
Just for a little peek. We don't interrupt. We just want to make sure, you know, things are cool.
Light begins to pour out. And you see, like, you feel this vibrating energy and all of this chanting and singing going on in the tent. And the ground, like, you feel it begin to wave out below you. As the sand begins to rise and fall.
Nighthunter slowly backs away and is like, This looks like they need some privacy. Perhaps we wait here.
Maybe we'll just stay outside, but maybe everybody just positive vibes. Maybe we could just think good thoughts.
Absolutely.
Right?
And she picks up Corpse Grinder. Just positive thoughts.
The rolling energy begins to move out and down towards the ocean. And the waves begin crashing up and back and forth. And there's this echoing crack that you hear from multiple locations, one from the med tent, one from further out to sea, one high above in the air. And there's this low rumble that begins to build over it all. And the sound of undead begins to echo, like almost up through the water.
That does not sound good.
No, it's... We need to be ready.
This whirlpool begins to form almost like a tornado up and out of the ocean, and it begins to move almost telescopic. And at the end of it is this black, this deep black roiling portal. And in it is the skull-covered face of this huge, hideous god. And a voice echoes out.
Show them the mercy that we bring. Show them what they can be.
In the tent, Varnox, you are commanding Flint to wake up.
Get up. Come on.
You feel all of this energy swirling. It's like the power combined of the power coming from Bahamut and the Cat Lord and Lipsinki are all nothing like you've ever felt before. And then you feel a shift in the air. And you look to Lipsinki. And Lipsinki, you feel it too. As you hear this voice echo from beyond, it comes in waves at first and then snaps into your ear as clear as day.
Voronox.
Orcus is here.
You heard that, Lipsinki?
Yeah, it sounds like Daddy's home and we better get out of here.
Everyone, I would steel yourselves. Finish what we need to do here, or put it on hold. Start over again later.
We can't put it on hold.
Then, Lipsinki, we have work to do. Can the rest of you maintain this ritual without us?
I look to
Leosin. Hasn't stopped the ritual. He's continuing as trying to push past.
Yeah, go.
One last hit with the book before he heads out the tent.
Right
in
on
the
forehead.
Face.
Yeah. Wake up. We need you now.
We're back in the dream space. Flint, you look around and the city of Greenest is in ruins as you pick yourself up from the place you first died. Just outside the keep in Greenest. And you see clerics rushing a younger you back into the keep itself to revive you. You stand up in this place and look down this long corridor of a street. And you see Bort, heavy-breathed, dripping with blood from his own wounds, staring down back at you. I think it's time you make your move.
I already failed once here. It's not going to happen again. And just slowly advance on him. Axe drawn.
Bort loses three quick arrows, which you manage to bat away. And he pulls his own blade, and less serial killer style, begins rushing towards you.
Let's do it.
The two of you charge towards each other, and with a flash of light coming up between you, you raise your weapons to strike down at each other. And this huge crack rings out back in the med tent. Flint's body's eyes open. With a huge gasp of air, sits straight up. With Thea and Leosin and Glim and Bahamut all standing around him.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 112. Starring Amy Moore as Thea Amastasia, Sullivan Slight, and Gael Nighthunter Okalakanu. Carla Maxted as Yenbul Nuri, Glim, Ilya Strong, and Lipsinki. Tom Laird as Tulgir Heavyfoot, Flint Firebeard, and Moot. With Kyle Classett as Varanox, Peter Joseph Lewis as Orcus, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Derelith, Lulahan, Charlie Warley, and L.A. Branton. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter @dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Make a... No, I said zips by your head. I'm not going to make you make a dexterity saving throw.
You're lucky, man.
It turns around. Well, if I fail it, maybe it I get in the way.
That's right.
It's one of those boomerang arrows.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Moot, you remember exactly where we're going?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're off to the abyss, aren't we?
Okay. I think you're going to Celestia to try and convince Bahamut because Gwilym was like, I could talk to Bahamut real good. Sully wanted to go to the abyss because he's like, these other guys are chumps. No, they can't fight Orcus. I want to punch him in the face. But then Glim was like, chill.
Yeah, I think that's how that went exactly.
That does sound right. Like everyone involved in that conversation.
We cut back to the med tent where a beer is opened.
Hmm? Well, it's how all the medicine goes down in the
mid-tent. Bahamut is one a pretty chill dude, you know?
Now that's how you start a ritual.
Hit record again. Check one, two.
Checking also all the things.
You did it,
checking
everybody.
It.
Sorry.
Yeah. You okay. Go. It was a blip. Just a tiny blip. It didn't just shut down the entire thing.
Okay, with no more rune chanting. Okay, you can do anything else. You can
just well, you can just play it in repeat on top of everyone else's when we do the thing.
Yeah, I'm just... Might just delete
there are
it.
Negative runes. I didn't even say Hagalos.
Oh no. There we go.
That one means hell.
Jeez, well, that's where we're going.
I thought you were going to say its face was on the watermelons.
Watermelon turns.
Oh no. My worst nightmare come true.
Quaid.
He looks down, he's Quaid. Naked and he's late for school.
Okay. Roll. I can't have you roll. I gotta roll this one.
What are you saying?
Yeah, what are you saying? That you want it to be successful and actually a challenge for Tom? Yeah. Rude. Rude.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
When Kilmer accepted the job of smuggling escaped heiress Samantha Trapp across the galaxy, she expected the job to be over and done with quickly. But now they're stuck with each other and they have a job to do.
Think of Automnicon as a sort of student loan company. You take a loan from them and then they own you until you've paid it off with interest.
So all I have to do is pay off my debt. Fine, I can do that. How much do I owe?
900,027 credits and counting.
You're stuck here with me to work it off.
We Fix Space Junk is a sci-fi sitcom from Battlebird Productions, featuring Traveling by Cryo.
Don't worry if you feel like you're drowning. That's perfectly normal. Wait, what?
Aliens from across the galaxy.
Greetings, visitors.
Stop, popcorn!
Hello, Your Excellency.
AIs.
Dad, how do I do air?
You're already doing it automatically. Calm down.
And, of course, thrilling and exciting missions in outer space. Hello, valued employees. Here are the details for your next exciting mission. You will be repairing a
device redacted
in or at the
location redacted.
We Fix Space Junk is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Subscribe, consume, integrate, indoctrinate, assimilate, degenerate, and watch your body decay into a faceless husk as your mind floats aimlessly in space. Register.